Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you. You have.
Well, hello and welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. You're hearing a different voice doing the intro. This is your co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady of ProfitableStorytelling.com, and Gina Gaudio Graves, the JB Queen, is dealing with a passport office and is in line and will hopefully join us very soon, but you know, sometimes things do crop up, and a beautiful thing of having a co-host is that we are able to pick it up and keep moving forward. And today, I have somebody really special for you. So the person that I have for you, you know, we talk so much about relationship marketing, building relationships, building buzz, using the power of the internet, growing relationships, growing a following, growing your influence, speaking with the voice of an expert, all of those great things. Today what I have for you is how we can use all of those wonderful tools of relationship marketing and the power of the internet to bring about peaceful communities and safe kids. So today we have with us Dr. Deborah Wingfield, and she is an author, and you'll notice that her book is right here in the show description so that you can check out her book. She is an author, she is an entrepreneur, she is a therapist, she has dedicated herself, her life and her business to creating tools and resources that people can use to create safe homes and safe communities, to give people tools of self-exploration to help people to be safe, to overcome abuse, and to break that cycle. Dr. Deborah, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Rhonda. It's an honor to be here today.
And we have, I bet this is Gina here. Hello, is this Gina?
It is. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us, Deborah.
Thank you, Gina. I'm happy to be here.
Sorry I'm late, everybody. Just got out of getting my passport. First time I've ever gotten a passport. We've been there for hours.
That's what Michelle told me, and I was keeping my eyeball on the screen. I said, I'll make sure to remember to look until we see her show up. So I'm excited that you are here, Gina, and it's always nice to be where you want to be. And Deborah, I am just absolutely
I have been so excited about having Deborah as a guest on this show. As you know, Rhonda, I am a co-founder of an organization called 10 Million Clicks for Peace. The community is all about creating peace in so many different ways, including peace for our kids and peace in our homes and inner peace and helping war refugees and lots of different ways of creating peace. So, Deborah, I am really glad to have you here as a guest.
Thank you, Gina. And as a member of 10 Million Clicks for Peace, I want you to know that I very strongly support your cause and know that the more people we get involved, the more peaceful world we'll have to live in.
Well, and we definitely have to talk after the show, because 10 Million Clicks is really an organization that was created to help other people in their own peacekeeping missions. And I think there's a lot in common between what you're doing and what we're all about at 10 Million Clicks. So let's make sure we connect off the air, too.
Well, thank you, and I will definitely be open to talking with you afterward.
Fantastic. Thanks.
That's one reason I brought Deborah to the show, is I went, oh, this is so aligned with 10 Million Clicks' mission and what Deborah is doing. It's really cool because I know of many times when you have somebody who's working in a community they stick almost exclusively to the offline stuff, you know, radio and TV spots and press releases in the newspaper, and those, and there's nothing wrong with any of that, of course. And Deborah is somebody who is utilizing the power of the internet and the power of teleseminars and online buzz and those types of, as well as the offline. And I'm really excited about this, and I believe there are so many other community grassroots groups and organizations who would benefit from adopting that type of approach. Don't you agree, Gina?
Absolutely. So tell us a little more about what you're doing, Deborah.
Well, Gina, I've worked for many, many years, in fact, over 40 years, helping people heal from child abuse and other adverse childhood experiences. And I've taken all of that experience and knowledge, and I've now put it into helping people learn how to prevent child abuse and prevent those adverse childhood experiences. And the exciting part about it is there are lots of people out there that are looking at how to help the layperson understand what they can do to help children grow up in healthy, productive environments so that they can be good, healthy future citizens of our world.
Right. So you have dedicated so much of your time to that, and what's been really interesting, Deborah, for me is to watch the evolution since I started to know you about 3 or so years ago, I guess something like that, and doing the personal healing through your transformational journaling process, which is also a good thing, and now you've really started a huge expansion into helping people in our own communities, just the everyday person, not only for, you had a system for counselors and so forth. So it's wonderful to see you expanding and both that offering tools for the people in your profession as well as the general public.
And you know, Wanda, something you probably don't know about me. Back when I was a kid myself, I was a whopping 12 years old. Our local community decided that they were going to build a youth center. And one of the big purposes of this youth center was really to provide both a safe place for kids, because the local area was starting to have issues with gangs and just not good kids, as well as to provide a place where kids could get education and whatnot to help keep themselves safe. And it was a topic that I really felt strongly about, even though I was just a kid myself. And as a result, I ended up running for public office at the age of 12 and winning, and went on to serve 2 terms because of my interest in helping keep kids safe. So it's something that I've been interested in my entire life. And Deborah, I'm so happy to see that you've got a program that can do that in a bigger scale than what I could do with my local town years and years ago in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, Gina, for standing up at such a young age and realizing the need in your community. And we do need to keep our kids safe, and we also need to help them from before birth to have a good healthy start. And when we do that, we actually help them stay safe, because what they're learning is they're learning how to think, they're learning how to help themselves and make good choices in their lives. So it all starts even prenatally and helping them with good, solid brain development.
Wow, really interesting. And so is this an organization that you have, or what do you call it?
I have an organization called Wingfield House of Peace Publications.
Okay.
And through that, we do writing and training where we help people really get on board and understand how to apply everything that researchers put out for people to understand a problem. And what researchers do is they give us the data and solid information. In our organization, we actually turn that into ways that people can put that into practice.
Yeah, but how to apply it.
Right.
And how has the internet changed what you're doing?
The internet has just allowed me to open up beyond the small community that I live in Colorado, to the global community, and to be able to provide that education globally through online teleseminars, and we're looking at webinars and different forms of getting the material out through blogs, through articles that are written to help people do a step-by-step process of learning how to be involved in their communities and to help all children. So it isn't just something that it is geared towards parents. It's actually geared towards the community to make community
mm-hmm.
stronger and safer for kids.
Oh, neat. So who are the people that you try to connect with online?
I'm looking to connect with people who are advocates working in their communities, helping them understand the new direction that the Center for Disease Control has developed in preventing child abuse, and helping them to carry a message into their communities, to business leaders, to different educational sectors in their community, and really bringing community members together to understand that they all have a part in making a difference in children's lives.
Oh, wow, how neat. And so, online, where do you find these people?
Online, I find these people at various blogs where they're talking about child abuse and their concerns about child abuse. I find them on Facebook and in Twitter, and I'm making lots and lots of connections through social media. And then I have a number of different places where I write articles and submit those articles, and people are finding out what they can do and how they can learn more and be trained to educate people locally in their community.
Do you know a woman by the name of Joyce Jackson who came out with a book a couple years ago called Keeping Kids Safe Today?
No, I'm not familiar with her.
Joyce is actually a friend of mine and a JV partner in the project that I'm working on currently. I have got to connect you with her for two reasons.
Yep.
Number one, she's got this organization called Keeping Kids Safe Today that is out there in a fairly big way because of the popularity of her book. It was a bestseller about 2 years ago. She's now gone on to the next phase of her project, which she's calling Angels Against Obesity, which is a program that has actually been brought to President Obama. She's been meeting with the president for the last 60 days or so, and his whole staff and the whole presidency is really behind the Angels Against Obesity program, which really dovetails in with the Keeping Kids Safe Today message very nicely. It's just another area in which kids need to be kept safe, right?
Oh, that's
right.
Really true. And actually, there's an interesting study that I've been working with one of the investigators on. It's called the ACE study, and ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And when you talk about obesity, you really need to understand what they found in this study. And Dr. Folletti, who was with Kaiser Permanente in San Diego, actually found in their treatment program where they were helping people lose weight because they had obesity problems, there was a certain point where people actually dropped out of the program, and when they went back and talk to them to find out exactly what caused them to back out of the program. What they found were these adverse childhood experiences. And the adverse childhood experiences were so emotionally traumatizing for these people that they had gained weight to protect themselves from any more trauma in their lives. And when And so I was reading the chapter last night that he's written for a book that will be coming out in June of this year called The Hidden Epidemic, The Impact of Early Life Trauma on Health and Disease. And he found in this investigation with the Centers for Disease Control a direct relationship between childhood trauma and early onset chronic illnesses in adults.
Holy cow. How fascinating.
That's really interesting, yeah.
It was very fascinating for me. And I've talked with Dr. Folletti a number of times, and we stay in contact because the research is really some of the impetus behind the change in how we're looking at helping to prevent child abuse and to help children grow up healthy and safe.
Wow, that's amazing. So really, by helping kids early on, it's not just helping them stay safe and stay away from abuse, it's truly impacting their entire lives.
Exactly.
It is. And that's what's so exciting, because it started a whole new trend in early childhood development research and what we need to be doing to help kids start off before they're even born with the healthy brain structure that they need and the healthy connections that they need as they're growing up, so that we're having a long-term impact on what's going on with healthcare and healthcare reform today.
Well, this show is all about relationship marketing, using relationships to market your products, your services, your cause, whatever. And I think this is a topic that is one that's easy to build relationships around because it's such a widespread topic and audience, really. I mean, everybody can relate to kids, right?
Right. And everybody can relate to health as well. And
absolutely.
So when we put those two together and we realize that by helping kids get a good start from minus zero on, what we're helping them do is also have healthy lives. And it saves a lot in the long run as far as dollars that we're spending. In fact, I looked at one of the studies, the prevention studies in Colorado, and we're saving actually six times what it costs to help kids go through special education classes, remediation programs, and other kinds of special programs to just help kids get a little bit better than they were as a result of adverse childhood experiences when we actually do prevention up front. So,
wow.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. And every day I find new information that just really says we have to get on the side of kids and really educate our whole society about what we're doing for kids that can really help them get off to a good start, because it helps us prevent gangs, it helps prevent juvenile delinquency, it helps prevent crime later on as adults. So all of those things we want to be doing early on by doing the right things for kids.
And, you know, it's sometimes so challenging, I've seen in the health field especially, to go out with a message that's related to prevention. Because especially online, it happens both on and off, but online more so than anywhere else, people are going online with problems that they're interested in solving. They're not necessarily going online looking for ways to prevent the problems from occurring in the first place, right? And if you can prevent the problems from occurring, then the monetary gain is so huge. But yet trying to reach people with a prevention message is one where you've got to reach them where they're at, and where they're at is with the problem, not with the prevention. So how do you go about getting the prevention message out to people who are oriented around the problems and fixing them?
Well, part of it comes from reframing their questions. And instead of asking a question, how many children are abused and neglected each year, what we really have to answer is, when all children don't have equal opportunity for healthy growth and development, we're putting our future at risk. So we really have to help people understand the paradigm shift that we're just starting to talk about. And that's what's exciting to me, is we are just starting to talk about this. We have a lot of education to do in helping people understand that when we're really talking about prevention, not only are we talking about saving dollars, but we're talking about building healthy lives. And it's really doing a 180-degree shift.
Right.
The challenge is the educational piece. So a lot of it is through social media, bringing things up in conversation, not waiting for people to say, oh, we have such a terrible problem, what can we do to solve it? Really saying to them, you know, we want to prevent this problem, and that's how we solve it, is by doing the things up front rather than waiting and reacting.
Yes,
absolutely. The thing is, it's like with so many things, and a lot of times, Gina, we've talked about how first giving people what they want, because we know what they need, but they are not always aware of it or not always willing to face it. And I think that is just as much true in something like creating a safe community, because people are not in the space of wanting to go, hey, I've been through abuse, or hey, my family is doing these terrible things, or whatever. And so you're finding ways to reach in and help people find ways to be safe and supportive and to create that safe space when they're not necessarily really going to openly want to talk about some of the darker areas, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your favorite way of doing these things online?
Online, my favorite way is writing articles. I write for examiner.com and I write for ezinearticles.com. And then I send those out on my blog as well. So people have a chance to find out the information in many different places and in many different ways. And I'm always tying my articles back into my Facebook page. I'm tying it back into my Twitter tweets and really working and being focused in that. And I have some wonderful connections on my Facebook page through some leadership development courses that I've taken. And as a result of being in those groups, I get to connect with all the people who have actually gone behind me and taken those courses as well. And we're one big group on my Facebook page. And I'm meeting all kinds of people there who had that same experience and are interested in making a difference and making changes in people's lives. So I make sure that I connect on my Facebook page and let people know what I'm doing. And I've set up a Facebook group to end child abuse as well. So really working with those tools, and instead of getting too diverse, I'm staying focused with a couple of different tools.
It sounds like it's bringing really good success. Deborah, will you tell people how we can find you on Twitter and Facebook and find that group, because some folks may want to know how they can connect with you there.
Okay, on Twitter, you can find me as Dr. Deborah Wingfield, because I couldn't get the D on the end of it. So it's D-R-D-E-B-R-A. W-I-N-G-F-I-E-L, and that's my name on Twitter. And on Facebook, I'm Deborah Wingfield, with a D on the end.
Excellent. And then the name of your group, so people can find your group. Excuse me.
The name of the group is End Child Abuse Now.
Great.
And there's a couple of different groups there. But, so I just encourage people to get on and to really raise the conversation about how do we raise healthy kids. And when you raise healthy children, what you're doing is you're helping them to grow and develop outside of an adverse experience in their childhood. So that's what we really want to focus on, is raising healthy kids. And I've been working on some presentation materials that I'm going to make available for people in my training courses, and I'll be putting up a page on Facebook about raising healthy children. And so I invite people to be looking for that, and that should be popping up there in the next day or so.
Fantastic. Now, do you have a blog of your own, Deborah?
I have a couple of blogs. I have a blog that's houseofpeacepubs.com/WordPress, and you can find me there. I also have a blog for therapists and people who are helping people recover, because that's another important piece of this whole issue, is we have to help people recover. And for therapists who are interested in helping people learn how to use transformational journaling, they can go to beyondinnerchild.com and learn how they can apply the tools that are in my book with their clients. And
Go ahead.
All right. And my book is From Darkness to Light, Your Inner Journey, and it teaches people how to use transformational journaling to recover from having been abused as a child, or having grown up with adverse childhood experiences. And that book is actually part of a program that we developed many years ago when we were doing therapy and helping people to recover. So we kind of cover both ends. We want to help adults heal, and we want to help children get off to a good start.
Yes. That's great.
Fine.
So, Rhonda, what else do you want to know about Deborah and how she's using the power of the Internet?
I would love, Deborah, to explore with you how you are combining your online. You've mentioned that you are primarily using Facebook and articles and Twitter to some extent, so you're focusing on those tools online. And how are you then also incorporating the offline and the spreading the word and getting people involved to actually use your program into their communities?
Thanks, Rhonda. That's a great question. And what I'm doing locally is I'm making presentations to service organizations and organizations that are really interested in kids. And I have some cards that I carry with me wherever I go, and those cards are actually 4x6 cards. They're not business cards. They're called By the Way cards. And what I do with my By the Way cards is I hand people those cards that tell them how they can find out about my book and how they can find out about my training for trainers program. And what I'm doing in the community is making those contacts either one-on-one through just talking with people about what I do or through the groups that I speak with and letting people know that I'm available to educate their groups and to also train people to go out and do that education. I'm one voice, and my goal is to create a cadre of many voices who are giving out this message and to give people the tools to be able to present the message so they don't have to take the time to develop those tools. They can actually spend their time spreading that message and getting it out into their communities as well.
One of the great things you have going for you is that because you've created the tools and the system, you've made something that is scalable. And so the thing I really love about this is, of course, yes, you're doing your own speaking in your own community, which is terrific, and speaking to the service organizations and so forth. But you've also, since you've created these tools, people can come to a free class, a teleseminar, to get an introduction to what you're doing, and people can discover how to utilize these tools in their own communities. I want to let people know where to find that teleseminar. I made you a bit.ly link, and you can find your teleseminar, your introductory teleseminar for people, so that you can find out how to bring Deborah's tools and use them in your own community. It's at bit.ly/safecall, SAFECALL, bit.ly/safecall, where people can find out more about what you are doing and how they can actually take these tools and use them in their own community. So it's a great thing that you're combining what you're personally doing offline with things that you're personally doing online, but that you have created these tools so people can become little copies of you and run around and share that message. And those tools that are developed through so many decades and years of experience and following the research and everything.
Thank you, Rhonda. And I just really want to emphasize that my goal is to get lots and lots of voices out there. And with the free introductory teleseminar, you can learn exactly how you can get your voice out there. And it's really quite easy because you'll have PowerPoint presentations that you'll be able to take with you and use in your presentations. You'll have it all set up. All you have to do is really gain the knowledge that I'll be teaching you in the training for trainers, and then you can go out and educate your community and be a messenger to make a difference for kids in your community.
Excellent. So they're going to get some PowerPoints and some tools to use. And tell us a little more about what's going to happen on this call so people really realize it's an introductory call, but I know that you're going to give them some tremendous value. So aside from those the presentation tools, what else can people gain from this call to assist them and sharing a message.
Some of the tools that I'll be giving to people is how to contact people in your community and what groups are open to being contacted for speakers, so that you have a list going into your community of the types of organizations that really look for speakers. Also, people will be learning just some basic speaking tools. I know it's difficult for some people to think about getting up in front of a group and speaking. And as a member of Toastmasters, one of the things that I learned was how to coach people to actually speak effectively in their community and to get a message across, and to do that with a sense of confidence. And so I will be offering people some keys and tips on how to effectively speak as well.
Excellent. So they're going to get some tremendous value from this free call that you're going to find at bit.ly/safecall, S-A-F-E-C-A-L-L, and they can register for that. If people are not available at the time of the call, are they going to be able to receive a download if they register?
If they
for a replay?
Yes. If they register, they can receive a replay of the call. And what's exciting is we're getting that launched next week on Tuesday the 12th, and that call will be at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Because a lot of people who will be doing this call or who will be doing this training are people who can do it in conjunction with their work. There are a lot of people that work with nonprofit organizations that have interest in children and they want to get a message out. And so we want to make the call accessible for them. And if for some reason they're not able to make the call, we will have a replay. It's important for people to register for the call in order to get that replay.
Right. That's excellent. So what have you found, Deborah, that have been some of the most surprising tools that you found as far as getting your message out, whether online or off? Have you had any surprisingly good tools or that you've been able to use?
Oh, I found some great videos that have been done by researchers that give in-depth background information that I will be able to refer people to who come to my training. So if they want to really get themselves immersed in the message and really learn more about it, they'll be able to get that. And then just some great articles and how to put the message across. There are a number of research organizations that have been working on this in conjunction with Prevent Child Abuse America and a number of the other child abuse prevention organizations to really help them craft this message. And those tools I'll be making available to people as well, so they'll know where they can get that in-depth piece if that's of interest to them.
One of the things that's really significant about that, Deborah, is for anybody, now it's so common, if you don't know something, well, you'll Google it or you'll use whatever your favorite search engine is. And yet, like so many things, you don't necessarily get to the core of the matter by doing that. And so the value of the fact that you have ferreted out these resources and you have them available for people who take your training is they don't have to do the digging and searching. You have done all of that for people so that they can just go right and dig in deep instead of just messing around trying to find something. And you're providing that. That's always a huge value that anyone can provide inside of a product or a program or whatever. And I think sometimes it's an underrated value because people go, well, if I don't have it, I could just go and Google it. But how many hours might you waste without having somebody say, look, here's the best research, here's in-depth on this topic, and here's in-depth on that one. And then they can go right in instead of having to search around.
Oh, and that's so true, Rhonda, because there are government resources, there are private research organizations that are resources. There are people who are doing research that if you don't know the right keywords to go and find those resources, it can take a lot of time. So I have pulled all those together, and those resources will be made available as part of our Training for Trainers program.
Excellent.
I'd love to hear more about the Training for Trainers program.
Good.
What kind of trainers is this for, and what do they learn how to do?
In the Training for Trainers program, we'll be offering a six-week teleseminar, and in that teleseminar, people will learn not only what the presentations are and have access to the full range of PowerPoint presentations, they'll actually have an opportunity to practice those with the people who they're training with so that they won't have to go out cold the very first time that they're going to do a presentation and say, oh, I am so nervous because I haven't actually said this aloud to someone and I don't know how it's going to come out and I don't know how long it's going to take. What they'll have an opportunity to do is to actually do that in the teleseminar training and to be coached on how to really make a strong presentation as well as the information they're going to present.
Very good. Are you showing them also then how to actually get a group of other people involved with them so that they're not trying to go solo in their own community?
Very definitely, and thanks, Rhonda, for bringing that up, because part of the Training for Trainers will allow people to train people within their organization, whether it's a service organization that they belong to or it's a nonprofit organization that they want to go out as an organization and spread the message and they want to train people in-house first. They'll have the ability to do that. And my vision, when I close my eyes, is just to see this huge group of people across the country who are going out en masse to educate others about how to prevent adverse childhood experiences and the trauma that it causes children. And as this group explodes across the country to help people understand that we can do a lot to solve social problems in this country when we do prevention work. So that's what I envision, and I can reach so many more people by doing this virtually than by trying to go to conferences and talk to the choir, basically. I have an opportunity to open this up to anyone who's interested in carrying this message and helping them know exactly what message is effective and how to carry that message and bring that home to people in their community.
How many trainers have you trained thus far, do you know?
At this point, we're in the launch stage of this, Gina. This is
This is new.
Oh,
this is fantastic. I'm so
It really is.
We were able to have you on the show so early.
Yeah, I am too.
That's fantastic. So what's your goal for this year? How many trainers do you want to train this year?
I would like to have at least one trainer in every state this year, and to have that trainer be training at least 20 people in their state this year.
Oh, that would be a great goal to meet, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
that's the one great thing about having scalable program is that it can be replicated or duplicated in any area, which is a wonderful thing. So it doesn't require that you have to hop on a plane or in a car and drive here and there and everywhere to do all these things and get people started. You can let the technology help make that piece of it easier.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. These trainers, they're actually setting up their own businesses when they come in and get your training, aren't they?
They can do that if they want to, if they're not in an organization, or they can actually expand the scope of their organization.
Many of our listeners are people who are just getting started building their businesses. And I think this would be a good opportunity for them if they're really passionate about, you know, helping kids. Why not look at going through your training so that they can use that to help launch their own businesses too?
And that's so true, Gina. And actually, as an entrepreneur and somebody who has launched several businesses, one of the things that I'm able to do is I'm able to help people actually take this and go in that direction and coach them to launch their own business.
Yeah.
To help children. So there are many different training directions that are probably going to explode out of this in this coming year, as we're training trainers, but we're also training them how to develop their own businesses and how to set up those joint venture partnerships. That's so important, because you want to work together. You want to work with more than one person.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the way to get true leverage.
It really is.
Right.
You don't have to work smarter. You can tap into the resources that already exist from other people's businesses by setting up joint ventures with them.
Right.
You have such a great opportunity. I'm sorry, Deborah. Go ahead, hon.
I'm just excited to talk about one of my joint venture partners who's a former school principal in Canada, and she and I are working together to put on some trainings, because she developed a huge program to help educators work with at-risk kids, these same kids that we're talking about, through the schools, and to make a difference with those kids in school. So we're excited about what's coming forward in this next year as a result of our joint venture.
How neat.
Excellent.
And is that part launched now, or is that coming?
That's coming. We're in the discussion processes right now. And as she's finishing up the revision of her book, which is Hearts and Minds School Miracles, Sandra Dean is going to be joining with me, and we have been talking about this for the last 4 or 5 months as she's finishing her book up. And as she launches her book, we'll be launching our joint trainings as well.
That's fantastic.
That really is. That is awesome.
I can understand why you're so excited about it.
Yes. It's such a great opportunity with social entrepreneurship, so that, you know, Deborah, you might have just gone the route of being part of some nonprofit and creating your materials through them, but you're choosing to do it in a different way. And there is so much room for social entrepreneurship and really having these opportunities to be an entrepreneur and be socially conscious. And you are just literally what your program can do is to truly help create peace in families, in communities, help create strong and healthy people, and bring an era of good, strong leadership and vitality into any community. And at the same time, people can use this as a business or as part of a business and earn money as well as saving the world and saving their piece of the world.
That's so true, Rhonda. And what's so exciting is that we have an opportunity to really build up a new generation of leaders. We have an opportunity to help these kids get away from the television set, away from the video games, and really learn how to be members of their community and how to be leaders. And there's such a shift that's going on now, and children who are growing up today have such great opportunities to take the technology that they play with and actually make a difference in the world. And I have to say this
mm-hmm.
to both of you. What's really exciting is I have a 9-month-old great-grandson who is going to benefit from all of this. And he is so much a part of the impetus behind my doing this, because I want the world that he grows up in to be so much better and so much safer than the world that his mother and his grandmother grew up in. And so it really is from my heart to him as much a gift as it is to all the other children. And so it is exciting for me to be able to say that I can reach out to him, and he's in North Carolina, and educate people in North Carolina to make their communities as safe and secure for him as I'm making for children in Colorado.
Well, one of my co-founders, Julian Kalmar, he often says that the solution to world peace exists today, and it exists in our kids. And if we can work with our kids to show them what needs to be done to create peace in your heart and peace in the home and peace in the world, that our kids are the solution to world peace. And I think it's really the similar message to what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true, Gina, because peace does begin at home. When
it does.
When children grow up in peaceful environments, when their primary caregivers in daycare and early childhood settings help them grow up in peaceful environments, that's a firm foundation for them to bring that into their schools and into their communities and eventually into their lives as adults. So it starts really with their parents and their parents understanding that they have to have healthy, nutrient-rich bodies before they ever get pregnant.
Yeah.
So that their children start off in the womb.
Nourished, yeah. Yeah.
Healthy.
And you know, so often, I think young couples, they at least get the idea that since the baby grows in the mother's womb, that the mom needs to have proper nutrition and whatnot before getting pregnant. But I'm an attorney by trade, and in my legal career, I specialized in doing toxic tort and environmental litigation. The biggest case that I ever worked on was a case involving two little girls, both born to different families, not related in any way, who both had some of the most horrendous birth defects I've ever seen in my life. And they were identical birth defects. The only thing in common between these two children was that their fathers worked in the same plant. and were exposed to the same chemicals.
Wow.
And both effects were not caused by the mothers. It was caused by the fathers. And so I think so many of our young people who are just starting their own families don't even realize how important it is for the fathers, not only the mothers, but the fathers, to have proper nutrition and, you know, really good health before getting their wives pregnant. Because it can equally impact that child.
Now, Gina, that is
yeah.
so true.
Yeah.
And we have so many misconceptions and myths out there about babies and infants and fetuses, and we really need to start with child development education in the elementary
schools. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And we have the knowledge now. We have the data, and now it's time to get our educators on board and really help them understand exactly how to bring child development education into the curriculum all the way through from K through 12.
And as we said a little while ago, what a neat business to start. A business that's really out there doing that, not as a nonprofit, but as a for-profit business. Perfect example of social entrepreneurship and how you can really use your business to make a difference in the world at the same time it's out there making money for you.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Deborah, one of the things we should absolutely talk about off the air is how you might be able to use the education that I provide about building businesses and social entrepreneurship with the people that you're out there training. I would love to see if we could do a JV on that.
Oh, definitely, Gina, because one of the things that we need that is so important is to have those partnerships. We all have strengths that we bring to the table, and when we partner together, those strengths actually are magnified and multiplied. And so we really have to work together, and we have to find those special people that have those strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's where Rhonda and I hooked up, is because we really bounced off of each other for quite a while.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I've met so many neat people because of 10 Million Clicks. People like Oren Hudson, who has a business called BeSomeone.org, where he teaches our young people how to use the game of chess and the strategies involved in it to be able to really live life in a different way, get off the streets, get out of the gangs, get rid of the drugs, and really become successful as you move into college and your adulthood. People like Dr. Carol, who has an organization called Angels for Haiti that helps kids in Haiti with their education and really gives them a chance for a future that they otherwise wouldn't have at all. And so many other people that I couldn't even name them all. But dozens and dozens of people who are doing things that directly impact the kids in the world today that I think I would love to introduce you to, because I think you've got so much in common with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Gina. I would definitely love to meet those people, because I know we're all working towards the same goal, and that goal is peace.
That's the key, right?
And that's the key. And when we're all focused and our energy and vibrations are going in that direction, we are going to see a shift. And
yes.
So the more of us who band together, the stronger that energy is as it moves towards a peaceful world.
Absolutely. And in the end of first quarter this year, we're doing something we call Blogging for Peace Day. that we really want to use to bring bloggers all over the internet together to blog about the topic of peace on one specific day. And more than anything, I want to use that as a way to reach out to other organizations out there creating peace in their own unique ways, so that as all of us work in our own way to do it, we can still somehow band together, maybe through blogging, who knows, I'm sure we'll come up with a way if I can get the conversation started,
right,
so that all of us can really work together to achieve that end result, even though we're all doing it in our own unique ways. So I know you'll be hearing about Blogging for Peace Day as a member of 10 Million Clicks, because we will be talking about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that, definitely. And it's one of the reasons I wanted Deborah on the show. Of course, I was like, wow, I think with between 10 million clicks and also the tools you have for someone to grow a business, I was just seeing all kinds of wonderful connections to get you two hooked up. So there's always what's happening, and then there's the behind the scenes into what's happening.
There you go.
Right. And I'm excited to hear about the Blogging for Peace. I really am going to look forward to that, Gina, because that message going out with all that energy behind it on the same day has got to have an impact.
I am certain it will. And our goal is to reach 50 to 100,000 bloggers, to have them all participating in that on one day. That is so much positive energy going into peace that it has to have an impact.
Well, I will certainly pass on what you send to me to people in my network, because I know there are lots of people in my network who would definitely get on and blog for peace.
Oh, fantastic. And we're going to try and make it as easy as possible for everybody to participate, right down to having some special WordPress plugins created that people can put a new plugin up on their blog. It will automatically set up things like the little yellow tag for peace that will help display their message of peace from their blog. It can even help to get a special post put onto their blog on that day. And we've just got a whole bunch of tools we're creating to make it super easy for people, so it doesn't have to be a time-consuming commitment. They take one little thing, one little action for about 2 to 5 minutes, and then everything else happens automatically. That's the nice thing about technology. It makes it easy to do that.
I love that. Good, because I've been afraid to try to put that little peace tag in and mess something up. Do it for me. I'm ecstatic.
Yes, we will make it easy for that to happen, Rhonda.
Yes, indeed. I love it.
And, you know, with our peace impact meters from 10 million clicks, the peace impact meter allows us to each play our own role in a measurable way. You can actually watch your impact on peace. And until we developed this, we have a patent pending on it right now, there really was no way to measure your own personal impact on peace. But now you can visibly see the impact, how many people you reach, how many levels deep. We had this discussion yesterday with a gentleman, and we were saying, you know, everybody talks about 6 degrees of separation. And what we're seeing in 10 million clicks through our peace impact meters is that it's more like 12 degrees of separation, because just about every person that's done anything at all to help with world peace has 12 levels of referrals deep made an impact. Now, that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
So just so that people know where 10 million clicks is, it's askggg.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E, askggg.com/peace. Why don't we give Deborah's URLs out one more time, too?
Yes, absolutely. I put a link to your call up at bit.ly/safecall, where people who want to find out how they can gain some tools and some how do you speak to organizations, how do you find them to get this conversation going, you can go there, bit.ly/safecall to find that. And Deborah, your main website of houseofpeacepubs.com. And if you want the blog, just add a /WordPress to it, and they can find your blog. And we know that you're on eZine Articles and Twitter and Facebook, so lots of good ways to find you and hook up with you.
Thank you, Rhonda, for giving that information. And let me just remind people about my book. You can find that
yes.
On the Blog Talk Radio page. And the name of the book is From Darkness to Light, Your Inner Journey. And it's a workbook to help you learn how to do transformational journaling and to help you heal from child abuse and other adverse childhood experiences, so that you're making conscious choices about your life instead of letting those old tapes run your life for you. And healing is so much a part of bringing peace not only into your life and your home, but peace to your children as well. So I really encourage people not only to do the healing part, but to also carry that message that we can make that shift and we can prevent children from having to go through the adversity that you may have encountered in your life.
And let me ask you this, Deborah, are you planning to create a book around your new program?
I am, and I was actually doing some brainstorming the last couple of days on the name of my book, and I haven't got that pinned down yet, but that's one of my goals for this year is to get out a book on
good.
How lay people can contribute to child maltreatment prevention.
Very good. I'm glad that you're bringing that into a book, because by doing that, you're going to put the possibility to have tools into everyone's hands and, of course, use it to generate leads back to the other things that you're doing. So that is really exciting. I'm glad that you're making that decision to write a book about your new program for raising healthy kids and communities.
Fun. I absolutely hate to do this. But the passport office just called Bill on his phone and said that we've got to go back in. Something is wrong on the application.
I'll meet you.
I've got to go in. Can you guys finish up here without me?
We will do that, Gina. Sorry to hear that there's issues. Hopefully it'll all be smooth. And I thank you, of course. I will finish up with Deborah here. We'll have a great time.
Thank you, ladies. And Deborah, I am so honored to have met you. I will ask Ms. Rhonda to get me all your contact info so that we can try and get in touch sometime this week. I leave on a cruise on Saturday, hence the passport issue, and we'll be back on the 18th. But let's try and touch base sometime this week and at least get a call scheduled for when I get back, if nothing else.
Okay, that sounds great, Gina. I look forward to it, and thank you for inviting me to be on your show and to share my message with your audience.
Well, thank you for all that you do, because it is certainly an area that is, it needs more of us being involved in, I think.
Yeah.
And I will most certainly get you in touch with some of the wonderful people that I've met through 10 Million Clicks to help spread your message and your book and everything you're doing even further.
Excellent. Well, take care, Gina. Good luck with the passport office.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Deborah. So, what else? I want to make sure that you have a chance to share anything that you want to be able to say about your program. Is there anything else you want to share that we haven't so far covered or brought up with you?
Well, thanks for that open invitation, Rhonda. there are some very important points that I want people to understand in how they can actually help children grow to be healthy. And the first point that I want to make is that it comes from building good brain architecture. And the way that we build those healthy brain cells, or as Poirot says, the little gray cells.
Yes.
We want those to be very healthy brain cells. Is we have to do things that are called serve and return. And what serve and return is like, it's like being on a tennis court. When
uh-huh.
somebody serves the ball to you, you have to serve it back.
Uh-huh.
Babies from even in the womb need to have that connection, need to have that sense of someone is there with them, someone is there for them. And, of course, once a baby is born, it's very important that we actually communicate with them. And we may think that it's kind of silly, all those oohs and coos and all of that that we do with babies, but that baby talk is very important in their brain development. And
mm-hmm.
so that's a part of serve and return. And the other piece that I want people to know about is that you can't have cognitive development without social and emotional development.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to work on our social and emotional development with children so that by the time they reach school age, they are ready for that learning experience. But we have to balance those out. And so we call that can't have one without the other. And when we do that, children actually learn how to share what's going on in their lives. So if there is something adverse happening, they know how to reach out. And we have to build a strong foundation, not only with serve and return, but and can't have one without the other. But what that does is that actually helps that brain development. So it all
mm-hmm.
keeps coming back to healthy brain development.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we have to be aware of is we all have stress in the world. You know, there's stress just getting on and doing a radio show like this because we all have to get focused and keep our energy going in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically three kinds of stress. There's positive stress, which is the kind of stress that we get when we're excited and passionate about what we do. And it gets our
mm-hmm.
heart rate up and it gets some hormones going that are positive hormones. And we all need that. There's tolerable stress. And with tolerable stress, what happens is maybe we go to the doctor and we're worried about something, or as a child, we're taken to the doctor for a checkup and we may have to have a shot. And what makes that stress tolerable in experiencing that visit with the doctor is that we have supportive adults there to help us.
Right.
It. What we want to avoid is toxic stress. Toxic stress is damaging to the brain because
mm-hmm.
it's unsupported stress. It's the stress of a child who feels lost because they're neglected. They're left in wet and dirty diapers for long periods of time. They're left and hungry, and they have to cry for someone to feed them. They're left alone and not played with. And that kind of toxic stress from neglect or abuse or any kind of adverse experience leaves a child with trauma, and that trauma damages the brain. So we want to keep coming back to this healthy brain architecture, and we want children to feel supported. We want children to feel like their environment is healthy and without any kind of toxins, whether it's physical toxins or environmental toxins, as Gina was talking about before.
Right.
And what this does is this leads us to have healthy adults who are future leaders, who need all those brain cells for innovation and ingenuity to be able to help our world progress and move forward. And we do that with parents' interactions with kids, with primary caregivers like our daycare providers and our child care providers doing that. And we do that with grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and other family members being involved with kids. And we do that with our neighbors who are involved. And we do that with friends who are involved. So it's really important that as we move children forward in their development, that we have that supportive environment. And when parents don't have that knowledge and education to do that, there are programs that are available to help them understand child development, to help them get their kids off to a healthy start. And there are also programs to help them heal from whatever adverse experiences they may have encountered. And what we're doing at House of Peace Publications is we're not only putting together programs to train people in how to do prevention education, we're also training therapists on how to help people heal. So all of our programs for trainers cover a broad cross-section of our experience of over 40 years of working with people and helping them to make their lives better, to have lives of conscious choice that really make a difference with other people.
Right.
And I know I just got off on my soapbox, Rhonda.
No, I asked you to, though. I asked you to because I know there always are things, and I love to ask people, you know, to share anything else because you're passionate, and that to hear that passion is wonderful. Another aspect of what you're talking about, as people focus on what can we do to make life great for the kids so they grow up into strong adults and wonderful leaders and all of that, as you learn how to bring peace and harmony into the home, it's better for everybody. It's more fun. It's more engaging. It's a place of nurturing and healing, and that's what a home should be for people. And as the adults learn to create that for the children, of course, it helps them as the adults as well. And it helps the community to think about how many people have something upsetting at home, and assuming that they don't have these tools you're talking about, then they go off to work or whatever else in the community and can bring that, you know, sense of toxic home into everything else that they do. So you're giving people the tools of transformation to make that home a really good, steady, and harmonious place to be. Then imagine you being able to leave your house every day to do whatever it is that you do, knowing that you have left a place that is harmonious and that you can take that inner harmony with you as you go through everything else. That is a really tremendous way to bring peace into a community so that you don't do the, oh, you know, the spouse yelled at you, so then you kick the dog and go and yell at the person who's serving your coffee or something like that. So that's a powerful aspect of what you're doing as well.
Well, thank you, Rhonda, for verbalizing that so well, because it is so important that we do this not only at home or on the job, but we do this everywhere we are in our communities. And it reminds me of a story of a man that was in a couples group that my husband and I did many years ago. And we were talking about communication among couples, and we were giving them tools to work with healthy communication. And he stopped the group and he said, "I don't believe this. I learned this in my management training at work, and I never thought about bringing it home.
Oh, my gosh. That is really, it's so, what is it about humans that they tend to compartmentalize? It's really an interesting phenomenon, Deborah, but you're so right. A lot of times I guess when I was a kid, I remember them talking about transferable skills. And what they meant by that in school was, well, if you learned, you know, a reasoning process in chemistry or whatever, that you could then take that into the workforce and do whatever. Or if you learned a skill here, you can take it into a different environment. But it's like people only do that as relates to maybe job skills, as opposed to, I always teach that if you improve any aspect of your life, your health, your finances, your communication, your connectedness, your relationships, whatever, that it's going to improve your business. And if you improve your business, it'll spill over elsewhere. And so, yeah, these are skills that you take, and yes, they're going to help you in the one area, but also in so many other arenas in your life.
Oh, and that's so true, Rhonda. And it's a message that when I was doing therapy, I shared often with my clients, is learn this here and use it in every area of your life. And I worked with some pretty tough clients. I worked with domestic violence offenders. And they tend to be fairly concrete in their thinking. And so what I would do is I would talk with them about how they could take what we were talking about in the group and use it in different places in their lives, and would give them examples. And that would get them thinking. But a lot of times people don't take the information and the knowledge and figure out how to apply that in different areas of their life. And one of the things that I do in all my trainings is I always give people examples of how they can apply this in different settings. Because
good.
Just getting knowledge doesn't move you very far. Getting knowledge of how to actually use that in different places is the key to success.
That's excellent. What is something that you can share, either a story or a tool people can use or whatever, and when we have a few minutes left, but just say that somebody goes, you know what, I would love to do something that I can make my home, my world, whatever, a better place. And what is something you can share that's real practical people can do starting right here and right now, Deborah?
That's a great question, Rhonda. And one of the things that I know people can do wherever they are, when they're with another family member or a friend, is turn off the outside noise, the television, the radio, the stereo, the iPod, unplug and plug in to the person that you're connecting with. Get eye to eye with that person and have even a 5 to 10 minute conversation. And really make that about what's going on between the two of you. And when you do that, when you focus your attention and get centered, it's amazing what you learn about that person that you spend all kinds of hours and days with. But you've got so many other distractions that you forget how important it is to just connect. And maybe it's a connection where you even touch each other, grab a hand, look at each other eye to eye, and say, what is it that happened in your day that you really want to talk about right now? And
excellent.
Start connecting.
There's a real power in being unplugged in communication, and, oh, you know, we just have had, for example, cell phones recently, and there's nothing that I find more annoying than sitting at dinner with friends or whatever, and I don't answer the regular phone if I'm in the middle of a meal, and I certainly don't answer a cell. And when people sit there at a table and they're on the cell phone and eating or, you know, whatever, and not even present. That's just, to me, that's just not a harmonious place to be. And it takes away the value of the present moment. So when you give yourself the gift of unplugging, even for a few minutes, beautiful things can happen. And you cannot connect as well, even if it's that there's the football game in the background or the TV or whatever. Don't you think, Deborah, that you just connect better if you just totally unplug and become present?
Oh, yes. And it does make a difference when you shut off those distractions, even if it's for 5 minutes. Now, one of the things that we have that technology has given us is they've given us the mute button. Well, the mute button still leaves that picture flashing on the TV. So I really encourage people, don't just mute. Actually hit the on-off button and turn the TV off. Turn the iPod off. Take the headphones out of your ears.
No texting during the meal. Right, yeah, exactly. No texting, no cell phone. If you have to even turn off your email, you know, it's funny, people expect you to be constantly 24/7 available reading your email, and there are times someone will say, well, I sent you a message 2 hours ago. I'm like, well, I only check my email about four times a day. You probably just hit me between times, you know? So all of those things let you be present, right? Let you be a human being.
Oh, that's so important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because so many people have plugged into email and Twitter and Facebook, and they get lost online just doing all those things. Mm-hmm. And I heard someone else talking the other day about, you know, don't even look at your email first thing in the morning.
Oh, never. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
look
and
at
it's
your
powerful.
Email later.
Why would you want to start your day by getting your, because you know no matter who you are, you're going to get engrossed in something, or you're going to find out like a link was broken or something you have to do, and then your day is already off kilter, as opposed to taking charge of it. And I remember even one of my friends, she was saying, gosh, I feel so frazzled all the time. And I said, well, how do you start your day? And she said, well, I get up at such and so time, and I go in and check the email. And I was like, okay, I'm going to ask you to make one change. Forget the email until work hours. If you said it, if 9 o'clock is when you're going to start work or whatever officially, then don't be checking the email at 7. Wait until you're at the desk and at work, because it makes a difference. It lets you be in charge of when and how you receive the communication. And that does make your life more harmonious, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I know I don't go to Facebook or Twitter right away. I usually wait until later on in the day when more people are on, and then I go and check my Facebook and Twitter and respond, because I need to focus on what I'm doing to get my message out, and when I get my message out, then I can respond to other people's messages.
This is great. Deborah, we're winding down. So what I want to do is, first of all, Dr. Deborah Wingfield, to thank you so much for being our guest on Relationship Marketing 101. And you've been sharing some wonderful ways of using both your offline real-world community, using tools such as Twitter and Facebook and teleseminars, and being able to have a business that helps you follow your heart in wanting to create peaceful and healthy families, communities, and a peaceful world. Please, will you give us, once again, your website and tell us how to get onto that call?
Okay. It's and I know you changed this to a bit, so I'm going to ask you to give the bit again.
I will do that part. Yeah, I just gave it a bit.ly because that's easier to speak than a longer URL, but it's bit.ly/safecall will get you to Deborah's free introductory teleseminar.
And if people want to learn more about what we're doing in relationship to today's children, tomorrow's future leaders, to houseofpeacepubs.com/WordPress and click on the link to Today's Children, Tomorrow's Future Leaders.
Excellent.
Ivana, I want to thank you and Gina for having me on the call. It was a great privilege to be here today and to share my message with your audience.
We are very excited, and I can't wait to hook you up with Gina in a deeper way, because I believe some wonderful things will come out of it for all of us. Thank you so very much. It's truly wonderful to create a peaceful and harmonious world. Thank you, Dr. Deborah Wingfield. And everyone, please join us next week for another exciting call on Relationship Marketing 101. Make it a great day and a great week.